Well, thank you. And thank you guys for being here on a Friday night. Well, there's a big football game going on across the street.
Yes.
And I'm sure all of you guys were sad to miss that game, right? I don't know if you have anyone at all in that game. But
and it's opening weekend, we hear. Are there any hunters out here that, like,
who are the hunters that sacrificed?
You actually are here. We just thank you. I hope we show up for you. And
we'll try to make it worth your while. And by the way, for you guys who raised your hand and said you've never heard us speak before, now you can't raise your hand. You've now heard
us
speak.
Here
we are.
Yeah. So.
So we've got a lot to do this weekend, and we'll do it as quickly but as lovingly and kindly as we can. As Dana said, thinking differently is really at the core of what we're here to do.
Yeah.
We're going to find lots of ways to do that with you guys and for you guys and around you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm about to step down and let Polly take over and do her part to launch us today.
Okay. So, love you.
Love you too.
Okay. Isn't he cute? So I want everybody, it doesn't look like too many note takers out there, but I want everybody just to set your stuff down. And we just finished worship, and there's so many times where we go from worship to then content. And we've got information, and I'm going to deliver some content. I'm going to deliver some information. But you can receive information in a whole different way. We're so used to learning with our left brains, and it's really fun when you discover that you are smarter, more brilliant, and a much bigger sponge and absorber of information when you can settle and connect to the Spirit of God. Set your notes down and worship where you are. We don't need music. We just need his peace. In a minute, I'm going to spend some time talking about process. In a minute, I'm going to talk about my story of process and how I've navigated it and some things that I've learned along the way. And the same thing, all of you are in process. We will always be until we are 6 feet under. And sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's meh, sometimes it's confusing, sometimes it's lonely, sometimes it's overwhelming. So just take a deep breath. Go back to worship and settle. And just say, hi, God. I'm so glad I'm here. Hi, God. So process. It's a funny thing because, gosh, I'm 51 years old. And so back in the day, some of y'all have read my books. I will talk to you in a little bit. So Steve told me that you wanted to chat with me, but you had read my book. And so I have a bit of a story with trauma, starting at a very young age, sexual trauma, some devastating things that happened along the way. And I'm going to talk about the process of healing. And there's some things that I never realized could actually happen. I didn't know I could be healed fully. And this is my business. This is what I do. I help heal people. And I didn't know it could happen. And so it was a couple of weeks ago that we went to the Sting concert? And anybody like Sting? There's some young faces out there. Anybody who doesn't know who Sting is? Oh, come on, you guys. Okay. Your homework tonight is to get on Spotify, because I'm cool, or is it Apple Music? I don't know which one. But he is a secular band, but he's great. I grew up with him. He's awesome. And we went to this venue. There were about 4,000 people, and Sting was singing. It was just really fun to get to see him play, because he's such an icon to the music world, to the rock world, the pop world, all the things. And toward the end, he sang the song. And everybody knows it. It's, well, maybe not everybody. But it's a Bob Marley song, and it's Everything's Gonna Be All Right. And everybody started singing it, and 4,000 people singing it. And this was just pretty much right after the stuff that happened in Israel. And he's like, you know, just kind of talking about the world. And he's like, everything's going to be all right. And he started singing it. And we all started singing it. And this peace just came upon the crowd. And it was beautiful. And this is a secular rock concert. God can show up anywhere. He can show up anywhere. And so everything is going to be all right. And so in the process of healing, it had me thinking about, gosh, back in April, we about 7 years ago, we bought a house, and a 50-year-old house. It's lovely. It's my age. So of course it's lovely. and not that old. Right? My young kids? Okay. Sorry. Young adults. Sorry. 50 years old, had a lot of work done on the inside of it, and like they did all these different things. Well, about a year ago, we started noticing some sagging in the ceiling, and it's like, oh, you know, we'll get to that. And then it started sagging a little more, and there was some black stuff that started kind of coming through, and we're like, you know, maybe we should do something about that. And so we called a contractor, and he came out and ripped out all the cabinets on one side of the wall, ripped out all the wall, and then ripped out the hall bath, and then ripped out walls in our bedroom because of a leak, a little bitty leak that just poured through the walls, the ceiling that was making our ceiling sag. And we didn't know what was going on because it was on the inside. And so I was sitting there one day after all the walls had been ripped out, and I looked, and there are these pipes inside the walls. And then there's all this wiring, this random wiring. I won't even go into the details about how this house has been wired with electrical cords, you know, extension cords. And so all this stuff behind our walls that we did not know about had been done. And so we're sitting there in the house for a few months while the walls are exposed and looking at it and going, you know, had we not had the leak, we wouldn't have known what was going on behind the walls. Isn't it like trauma? We don't know what's going on with our nervous system inside the walls. We don't know that the wires have been crossed. We don't know that somebody came in maybe with trauma, sexual abuse, harsh words, divided family, alcoholism, drug addiction, any of those things and more that I don't have time to name because I could sit here and make a monster list of all the things that can be traumatic in our lives. And inside of our walls are leaky pipes that maybe we haven't found in the process yet. Inside our walls are wires, extension cords. Somebody went in and put in extension cords instead of the proper wiring. Are you an electrician? I see you're like, y'all eyes are like, oh gosh. It's like, no. But inside our walls, our nervous system is screaming and we don't know why. And we come to a weekend like this, and it's like, God, you better show up because I am so freaking tired of crying out to you. I am so tired of asking for you to heal me. You better show up. He's like, I'm here. Or you may be here in the process of like, nothing's wrong. I'm perfect, blessed and highly favored. I know y'all have never heard that. Those are my favorite church people. How are you, blessed and highly favored? And you can see their like jaws twinge right here. But there are plenty of people who don't have trauma. And you're here in your process and you're going, you know, I don't really have anything, but I'm excited to see what God wants to show me. Or you're in the part of the process where you're like, I have been going to counseling and counseling and counseling. And then I went to some more counseling. And I'm still here and I'm still hurting and I'm still triggered. And I don't know what it is, because I don't know what the wiring is on the inside. But you're not broken. This weekend is about being rewired. This weekend is about discovering the pipes that are on the inside of you and that process of going, you know, all we got to do is take down some sheetrock. All we got to do is go in and discover what's really going on. And all we get to do is to look at the wiring and the nervous system and let God, the contractor, come in and rewire you. When I started my journey, it's been a long process. So when I said earlier, I had childhood sexual abuse, the earliest I can remember is 3 years old. And from that stemmed just a life of just pain and always seeking and always searching and always hoping that somebody would love me. But I didn't know love wasn't connected to sex. And the latest I remember it, when it stopped, was around 7 or 8 years old when my parents got divorced, because one of my abusers was my biological father. And for whatever reason, he thought that was okay. And then my parents got divorced, and I still had the wounds and the scars from that. So I remember just recently, my mom has been going through all these papers, and she has been handing me boxes and boxes of paper. I'm like, Mom, I don't want the papers. I'm like, stop handing me the boxes. And Bob's like, stop handing her the boxes of paper. But I was sitting there going through a box, and I came across several of my grade school report cards. Back in the days, they used to fill them out by hand. They were not computer generated. I know, weird. And filled out, and then I hated grade day. Like, I hated when I had to bring my report card home and get it signed. I'm like, how can I learn to forge my mother's name? Which my mom, yeah, there's no way I can get away with that. And so looking at the grades, I was making in third grade C's and D's. Third graders don't make C's and D's. They just don't. And, well, I did. I was special then. But I remember going to a counselor, and I remember it being in the gym. And she, it was like a play therapy, and I don't really know why I was there, except clearly there was something wrong because I was making C's and D's in third grade. And so part of the process of counseling started then. As I went through my teenage years, I was incredibly promiscuous, started using drugs really early, raped, abortion, sneaking out all the time, partying all the time, just multiple. The abuse that had happened to me, I then started recreating the abuse in myself and what was wrong on the inside of me. And the process, I was just screaming for somebody to see my inside, my heart, for somebody to know me outside of what I did on the, know me on the inside, not the girl that I was and showed up on the outside. I was called tons of names. I was the bad girl. I was the one with the reputation. I didn't go to church. I was atheist because I had cousins and people who tried to save me. And they said, you know, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to burn in hell. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to know your God. There was no love, just fear. And there was a constant depression and a constant reaching and a constant desire to either not be alive, or if I can make it through, I'm going to be the craziest, wildest woman in the world. So I get through high school. I started going to counseling after my abortion. Started going to counseling again and thinking that maybe I can start having like some kind of really good life. And that only lasted for a little while. It was very much, you know, it wasn't helpful counseling. That was when I discovered that it was my biological father that was my abuser. And so as part of the process of discovering what was behind my walls, my story unfolded. So then I go into college. I compartmentalize. I decide to be a a great, I was an art major, film minor. I went to SFA, Stephen F. Austin. Any SFAers in here? You, oh gosh, good. Are we the same age? Did we grow? So anyway, that's where I stripped and worked at a club there for a little while. And then after I worked at a club there, tried to take my life and then ended up in a home as part of my process. This home, I was there for a few weeks, and in that process, I did get to discover my voice a bit and learn a little bit about who I was and how I didn't have to act out the way that I was acting out. I never danced again, but I didn't change my lifestyle very much after that, but it was still part of my process. It was still part of the discovery of the things that happened to me. It was still along the way, the cousins that tried to save me, the people that spoke into my life, the things that I learned, the tools that I got, even though at that time I still did not choose to walk in health, but to still be wild and still be crazy. I wouldn't say wild and crazy. Still be incredibly independent in a way that was very destructive and toxic to not just me, but the people around me. And so as I went through that process, I then ended up meeting a guy, getting pregnant, marrying him, and having twins within a total of 9 months. It was a very quick time, and then all of a sudden I become a stay-at-home mom. So part of the process was me compartmentalizing my whole past and saying, I'm going to set this over here, and now I'm going to try to be mother to these girls. And through that, the relationships in which I developed, the relationships that I tried to learn in my state of never learning how to create relationships, was part of my process of thinking, I must be a horrible person. I'm never gonna heal. There's something wrong with me. I have to drink to be okay. I have to shut away. I can't be intimate. I can't connect. And so if I can just shut it off, be a good mom, which you can't shut it off and be a good mom, but you can try. But it was part of my process. And then I keep hearing lovely piano music. Church bells. Ah, oh, thank you. I'm like, is that God? Are you here? Come on. So, but the coolest thing is in here, who are my mother-in-laws? Anybody in here a mother-in-law? Raise your hand. Okay. I had a mother-in-law, Southern Baptist, at church, as much as she could be, and she just loved me. She just showed up. She didn't tell me I was going to hell. She didn't tell me I had to know Jesus. She just showed up, and she just loved me, even though she knew I had a story. She didn't know my whole story, but she knew parts of it, and she loved me. And then part of my process, trying to think where in the discovery it would be in the house. I came to know Jesus. Jesus showed up, and he loved me and said, I see you, and I'm not afraid of you. I'm not ashamed of you, and I want you. And I'm like, yeah. I really want you, and I am in it, and I fell in love with the Lord. And as part of my process of falling in love with the Lord, I then moved away and put him a little bit to the side, and now I learned how to play Christian. The Spirit wasn't here for when I was doing Baptist. I don't know if we talked much about the Spirit, but I didn't know. Sorry, that was not a knock on the Baptist. That was in where I was at. But I did not know the Spirit of the Lord. But I knew I had God. And so I chugged along, parented, did all the things, would be triggered after triggered with different things and events that would happen. I would have a memory and I would be shut down for 3 days. I would be scared and I would drink and have to get drunk because I needed to not remember it anymore. And that was part of my process. And then I started going to counseling again, but it was different this time. And then I had this opportunity. I started a ministry, and before I started the ministry, I met with some women. I used to coach volleyball for a homeschool athletic association, because if I'm going to do all the Christian good things, I'm going to homeschool my children too. And I'm very glad I did. It was amazing. But we joined an athletic association, and I played tennis in high school, and so I love athletics and sports, and ended up being a coach for volleyball for this team. And I just have to say, we did win state and nationals 2 years in a row. So, but all that to say, these women that I got to coach with had this thing called freedom. And I got to experience something I had never experienced before. I got to discover the Holy Spirit. I got to be baptized and born again with that Him. And I got to know the Lord. And I got to understand that God did not need me. He didn't need me to be a good mom. He didn't need me to do all the right things. He didn't need me to make sure I showed up to church every single day. He just loved me. He wanted me. And I could not understand that, because want had a different definition in my head. And God's like, it's not like that. It's like, I want you to sit with me. I want you to know me. And I want you to know that I know you. And none of that stuff, from the time that I was born to all of the decisions that I made up until that point, He looked at it and goes, I know you. I know the inside. I know the original house. I know the original structure that I built. And it's on a firm foundation, and it is a beautiful home, and all the pipes are strong and sturdy. All of the electrical wiring is perfect. I know that, Polly. And in that process, I fought hard with Him. In that process of going, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of really bad things I did, and I am really comfortable in the shame. Because I know that. I'm really comfortable in the triggers because I know that. How do I walk free? What is it even like? And is it even possible? Like, you say you heal, God, but I see people walking around that aren't healed. So how do you say? What do you say, God? God said, walk with me and I'll show you. So this weekend, you guys are in a process. You have a beautiful house. You have a beautiful foundation. You have beautiful pipes, electrical. Everything was made perfect. And somewhere along the way, somebody came in and jacked it up. And you might even be part of the reason why it's jacked up. I had all that abuse happen to me, but there are so many choices that I made that I'm like, God, I don't know. I did that. I don't know if I can show that to anybody. Because it's one thing, oh, I can tell my story all day long about what was done to me. But the things I did, and He's like, your house is perfect, Polly. We're going to go in. And we're going to do some rewiring. We're going to do some plumbing. I'm going to give you a new roof. And we're going to heal. And I never thought that everything could be all right. And so Bob and I get married because my whole world fell apart from my first marriage. And the most fascinating thing started to happen. Did you know that it's nearly impossible to heal when you don't feel safe? When you are in an unsafe environment, you can still heal, but it's very difficult. If you're in a battle zone in war, like you're always on guard, your nervous system is always prepared to fight or hide because it's survival. And it's what we're designed to do. Later tomorrow, I will teach you why we do that and what happens in our brain to be able to do some rewiring in that. But when we got married and started being able to communicate in new ways, and I felt safe for the first time, I thought I had done a lot of work. And when the guard was let down, and when I was finally out of the battleground, a whole nother level of triggers came along. A whole nother part of the process came along. And I was triggered when we would try to have a conversation. If there's conflict, I know probably nobody out there has ever had conflict, but Bob and I have had conflict before. And this is what we do for a living. We help people navigate conflict. We help people think different. We think differently. We help people heal, all of that. And when we would have a conflict, I would shut down because that was my process. He would move towards anxiously. It's like, babe, we need to talk. I'm like, no. I don't even think I said no. I'm like, and sit there like I'm, oh yeah, I'm listening and we're talking, but I'm nowhere to be found. And so I started doing another type of therapy called EMDR. Eye movement reprocessing, desensitization, and reprocessing, EMDR. And when I started doing that, I started processing the trauma in a whole new way. I started totally getting my mind and my nervous system completely rewired, and along the way started to communicate in a way that I didn't get lost. I didn't stop. I didn't hide. And it was part of the process of me learning that I could be me and not be broken. Wasn't broken. Not be trapped. Because I was trapped. The walls getting opened, the deconstruction of everything to expose the trapped parts of me got to be healed. And so through the whole process of me working on me, me healing from the pain and the fear and the shame and the disgust of how do I live with myself? How do I live with this version of me that I have created to maybe show the whole world? It's like, look, I'm blessed and highly favored. But on the inside, I was dying. And the last 2 years, having had this construction done for myself has taught me that everything will be all right. But I didn't believe it. I didn't even know it could happen. And so wherever you are in your journey, be there. Don't try to jump ahead. And if you do, don't worry, the other stuff will catch up to you. You'll get to go back. But be where you are. Look at the walls of your house. You get to discover the leaks. You get to discover the wiring that, if you think about like the frayed wires and they touch each other, it can burn a whole house down. And if you've ever had triggers in your nervous system, feels like you're on fire, that is your wires crossed. And this weekend, your wires will get some healing. You may be in part of the process that the whole house gets healed this weekend. We're gonna all go for that, okay? But I'll tell you what, it's still part of the process because I know there's more for me. So So here when we worship and we settle and we connect and we're not trying to be somebody we're not. And even if you have the question of like, I don't even know who I am, God's got that answer. And so you be right where you are. In that place of rest, in that place of receive. And you discover your heart. And if triggers happen again, that's okay. You just get to learn how to navigate them in a new way. Triggers aren't bad. Triggers are just information. The ceiling sagging was information that something needed to be done. Thank God our house didn't burn down with the wiring, because that would have been a lot of information. But your house may feel like it's burning down, and that's information. And so this weekend, you're going to learn a lot of ways to navigate that information, to reach it, to understand it, to rewire it, to connect to it, to maybe communicate in a new way and not be scared. Whether you're that anxious person where I'm like, I got to make sure everything is okay, or you're that, I'm just going to stay back here and shut down. Thank you. I can't even hear what you're saying. Whichever one. This weekend, you get to know something new about you. And God's going to whisper in your ear. And he says, I got you. Right where you are. And so again, at the end of that concert, I can't believe I'm going to do this. I just have to say that out loud. Okay, so right after that concert, 4,000 people, and the world seems to be falling apart, and there's lots of scared people. And we don't know, you don't know what's happening in the room full of 4,000 people. But, you know, if you know life, people have stories. And if you know stories, some of them are horrific. And people are there to sing along with Sting, to have a great time. And this is part of their process. This is part of our process. And it was the first time I realized that everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Do y'all know the song? Everything is going to be all right. 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 Does everybody know Bob Marley? If you don't know it, that was it. I all want y'all to say it. I want you to put your hand here, or where the Spirit of the Lord lives inside of you. And I just want you to say, everything is gonna be all right. 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 The process. This is part of your process. You showing up. You're brave. Everything's gonna be all right. Thank you.
So she forgot to tell you something super important.
Oh, did I?
Yeah. So what's our house look like now?
Oh, it's gorgeous.
You left out the best part of the story.
I did leave out the best part of the story.
Tell them about the house.
Okay. Gosh, how did I forget that? I was worried about singing.
You were worried about singing.
I was. Yeah, yeah, I was.
She's been worried about singing all week.
Yeah, but I kept hearing God say, everything is good. I'm like, oh, okay, Lord.
It's going to be all right.
Yeah, everything's going to be all right. So the funnest thing is we had everything ripped out, and we got to remodel the house completely and got the whole kitchen ripped out, all the hardwood floors, and I've been redesigning this house since we moved in 7 years ago, just because that's my brain, and I love to redesign.
Pause for a minute. She's been dreaming this for 7 years.
Seven years.
And finally got everything she's been dreaming
everything
of.
Everything I was dreaming of.
Just tell them what you got.
I got a new stove. I got a new kitchen. I got hardwood floors. I got to redesign the whole house, including electrical and including plumbing, and insurance paid for it all.
Yes. Everything's going to be all right.
So as part of the process, you're right, that's a really important part.
It's a super important part of the story.
So part of the process is the beauty that gets to come from the healing and the work. You guys are going to do work this weekend. Like, you get to sit there and worship and rest and receive, and there's probably going to be some tears and snot, maybe. And that's hard work. It's hard work to look at our stuff, and it's hard work to redesign your home and ask God to come in, and it's what he does for free. Yeah. I mean, we do pay insurance, but.
I just think it's crucial to understand that the point is a fully redone house.
Yeah.
The journey is the journey. Mm-hmm. The process is the process. But the fulfilled dream is the point.
Yeah.
So.
Thanks.
Thanks, babe.